Psalm 78. There are many challenges that Christians have and churches have, families have. And this morning, on my mind, on my heart, is the challenge that we have as the people of God to reach the next generation. To reach the next generation. Psalm 78, this is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a musician, first of all, mentioned in Chronicles as just a musician in the temple. Then later, as one of the leaders, one of three primary leaders of temple worship under David. But he's also a prophet. So he was a musician, a worship leader, and a prophet. And I guess you could say also he was a poem, because he wrote, I think it's 11 or 12 of the Psalms. He was inspired to write 11 or 12 of the Psalms, and this is one of them, Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his mighty works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I think that one of the things that Asaph is writing about here is, first of all, he mentions the law that Israel was commanded to keep. You can read about that in Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 6. The law reads something like this, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, that thou teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. I think that the inspiration for the law of God here in Deuteronomy was a strong, strong message to families, to the people of God, to the congregation of the Lord, that we're to take heed to his law and we're to make sure that succeeding generations know about it, that they hear it taught, and they see it lived out every day in our lives, that there's to be a practice. We're to be living as examples, and that all these things, even the example of the Old Testament, was written for our admonition so that we would learn from their experiences, both the highs and the lows, the successes and the failures, that we would learn from them. But I think that it's very clear from the law of God here that God was intending, his purpose and his will is that we would be preoccupied with the things of God. That's one of the reasons why that this is so urgently on my mind and the Lord laying this on my heart, is because of the fact that our preoccupations today are with everything else but the things of God. We are struggling even in our church services, just to keep our focus and our attention upon the things of God. We sing, we worship, we pray, we go through all of these various, you know, important parts of worship. But people are easily distracted. And there's so many things that steal our attention away from the things of God. And we need another reminder today that there's nothing more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than your preoccupation with the things of God. So it's a challenge today. We're in a fight. And I know that behind all of this distraction is the enemy of our soul. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. He wants to make sure that your family never develops a relationship with God. He wants to reach into the hearts and the minds of children and young people right in our families, in our households, right in our Sunday school and our youth group and our church services, and steal away our affection. And Satan's doing that. He is doing that. We need to have, and really the first verses of this song is his call to attention. Give ear, O my people. Incline your ears to the words. Oh, I'm going to open my mouth and speak to you. And I need you to hear what I'm saying. Now, hearing, it's presupposed that he is commanding them to hear him and to obey him. It's possible to hear and not obey. I think most of us know a lot of things about the Bible. We know a lot of things about serving God. But are we obeying all the things that we have been commanded to do? Are we in step with the plan of God and the will of God for our lives? And I'm especially concerned about our legacy. Not that I'm an old guy, although I recently have been called aged. But there's some of you older than me. And I've been around here long enough that I have witnessed one after another that have left our congregation and went to heaven. One right after another. Probably hardly any family in here that hasn't been affected by someone in your family that's passed away. It's been a part of our congregation. Now they're no longer here. I think it's a reminder to us that we must pass on the legacy, or the church will not continue. It can't continue unless there's something that happens that we're successful in planting in the hearts of our children and our children's children. And the psalmist here says, and even to those that haven't been born yet, that we understand the far-reaching impact of what can happen whenever we reach the succeeding generation. Some of the reasons why that I'm concerned about this. Young people and young adults are walking away from the church at a rate of around 30%. In 2014, 114 million adults and 42 million youth and kids walked away from the church. Or that many in 2014 were disconnected from any kind of a church. That's 156 million people in the United States of America that make no claim to any religion, any church, any affiliation to anything that has to do with God or the things of God. 156 million. There's 324 million people that reside right now in the United States of America. So almost half of our country is completely disconnected and has no use at all for God or the church. That should trouble you. That troubles me. It concerns me. And it's why that I've come to you this morning and more or less want to say, Lord, help us to hear the call and then take steps of action to make sure that the succeeding generation knows God, knows the things of God, has a real relationship with God. A young person is less likely, Pew Research Group, one third of all Americans under 30 are not connected to a church. Brother James Hacker sent me this information. It was a part of his Sunday school lesson today from Ron Luce, Teen Mania Ministries. 90% of those who give their heart to the Lord do so before the age of 20. 90%. Kids between 5 and 13 are the most responsive, with 32% of them who respond to the gospel. But it drops to 4% when they get up to 14 to 18 years old, and up just a little bit after they're 18 years old to 6%. 47% of them say that their parents had the greatest influence on them. Their church was second at 16%, and their peers was third at 8%. So it lays a heavy burden of responsibility upon moms and dads. My, we have a big responsibility and a big calling before God to affect the lives of our children, the children's children, and the generations that are to come. We know that if Jesus tarries 20 years from now, that there's going to be another great exodus from this congregation of older folks that are no longer will be here a part of this group. And if we do not pass on the things of God and reach the next generation, then there will not be a church to carry on. There will not be a First Pentecostal church. There will not be a church at this location here. We've been the last week, my wife and I took a little trip to Texas. We flew down to Dallas, and Dallas is a place where there's millions of people. Over 6 million people live in Dallas. I'm pretty sure they were all on the interstate the other night, all 6 million of them. It seemed like it anyway. We drove through Austin, Texas. Over 2 million people live there. San Antonio, Texas. 2.3 million people there. Masses and masses of people. And for one, I never go through a city, especially a large city, but what I don't think, Lord, is there a sufficient presentation of the gospel available in this community? If there's 3 million people in San Antonio, Texas, are there enough churches? Are there enough preachers? Are there enough witnesses to reach these people? Sad to say, I doubt. Even though I know that there are large congregations in all of these cities, I'm convinced that we are not reaching this generation. If they're falling away at a rate of one-third, then we need to be concerned about that. It needs to be something that we take on an urgency, like ASAF is presenting to us here, an urgency about the coming generation. And he's not just saying, listen to me. You know, you can get a hold of your children. I can remember my mom, my dad, when they really wanted to get my attention, they'd grab a hold of my arm or my shoulder, and they would kind of give me a little shake and say, look at me. And I would stop and look at them, and then they would give me the command, whatever that command was. And they got my attention. I didn't always obey it, though. And when I didn't, I would suffer the consequences of not doing what I was commanded to do. But whenever Asaph here is giving the command, he is assuming that you will hear and obey, that you will do what the word of the Lord is commanding us to do, that we will listen to God and we will obey the voice of the Lord. Verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from the children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, that the children, they will learn from us by what we say. But of course, the most effective thing is they will observe our life. They will observe what is really the priority of our lives. And sad to say, we are so distracted. We are so busy. We are so distracted that our children are not getting a clear message that the things of God, the Word of God, should be the priority of our life. That doesn't mean that a lot of things that fill up your day isn't okay to do. There's a lot of things that are okay to do. By that I mean not necessarily sinful things. But I believe that the writer there, Moses in Deuteronomy, was saying, when you get up in the morning, when you walk by the way, when you're in the marketplace, everywhere you go, all the way till the end of the day, when you sit in your house and when you lay down at night, that the law of the Lord must be your preoccupation. That's a very convicting verse there to me. When I think about the fact that our preoccupation is with so many other things. And when we think that things are so busy and we're so distracted, then cell phones and smartphones are introduced. And we have the busiest major distraction of our life, the most attractive thing in your hand that you can within reach. You can talk to hundreds and thousands of people. You can see what they're doing as they post their daily activities. You can see at the tip of your finger, you can see all kinds of things that are going on around the world. If there's a major news event, every time somebody got a gold medal this week, it would pop up on my phone. My phone would make a little buzz or a little ding and tell me somebody that got a gold medal. So it was happening all the time. Everybody was getting gold medals this week. And all this information. We have so many distractions. Obviously, there are conveniences, and they have wonderful, there's a wonderful tool that can be used for a lot of good things. But the fact remains is we're already so distracted from spiritual things. And our children are watching what's important to us. They're watching our activities. They're watching our life. They're watching how we feel our days. They see the things that seem to be so important to us. So what does the scripture say that we're to do? It says that we're not to hide them from our children, the next generation, but we're to show to the generation, showing to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord. Those things that are praiseworthy. You know, they listen to what you're saying and the things that God is doing in your life. The way that God is working in your life. We should show them our reaction to the works of God. And giving God the credit for the way that He is working in our lives. The things that are praises are praiseworthy. And His strength. That's the second thing, verse 4. And His wonderful works, talking about miraculous things that He has done. Wonderful things that He has done. That those should be the things that we make sure that we share with our children. We need to talk to them about what God has done in the past. Those things that are worthy of praise. We need to talk to our children and our grandchildren. We need to let them know that God has worked mighty works, that He has shown His mighty hand in our behalf, and that He has worked wonderful miracles. I'd suggest, and I'm terrible at doing this, but I'd suggest that you go out and you buy your little cheap journal at Walmart or somewhere and start writing in it. I don't mean necessarily write every day, but every time that God does some wonderful thing for you, we forget. Because it's almost on a weekly basis that the Lord moves for us and answers some little prayer. Write down those things that are praiseworthy. Write down those things that are great miracles, mighty works that God has done, how He has shown His mighty strength in your behalf. Begin keeping a record for your children in the future and even those that are going to be born in succeeding generations. They need to know about the works of God. They need to know about the way that God has worked and moved in your life. Many of you have testified to wonderful healings and miracles. I sat at the hospital with Sister Hyla, and she testified to me and to those others that were there about her healing from cancer. It was the best thing I've about ever heard, the way that God miraculously delivered her. Write it down, sister, if you haven't already. Write it down. Leave it as a legacy. For your children, they need to know that God can do miracles. And I could go around the room. Many of you have had wonderful things that God has done in your behalf. He's answered prayer for you. He's worked miracles and mightily moved for you. Keep a record of that and testify to the works of God. And not only that, but to the Word of God. Amen. Our children need hope. We have our two older grandchildren out in New Mexico. Albuquerque public schools are a little scary. The drug epidemic is out of control, and it's just full of gangs. And we've been so worried about our two older grandchildren going into middle school and the influences that were there, concerned about them, prayed for them, that somehow God would help them. The Christian schools cost $500 per student to put them in a Christian school, just out of range as far as expense is concerned. But this year, the Lord has moved. A lady in their church who is a retired school teacher, and get this, she is originally from Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And she is in their church, and she is a retired school teacher, and she came to Mandy and Dustin and said, I would like to teach your children. And so instead of them going to the schools that we were worried to death about, they are going to this lady's home 4 days a week and is being tutored by this lady that is a retired school teacher and that is giving them all kind. They were kind of dreading it, didn't know what to expect. After the first day, they're so excited about all the wonderful things that she's teaching them and how they are learning. And it's a wonderful answer to prayer. God can take care of your family. He can take care of your children. And He can preserve them from a lot of things. And He can steal the Word of God in the hearts of our children. Amen. We need to make the testimony of the Lord a priority with our younger generation. We need to talk to them about the ways that God has moved in our life. We need to record it. We need to pass it on to the next succeeding generation. Some of you older ones have said to me, there's not anything I can do. I'm too old. I can't do anything. You can talk to young people about how God has worked in your life. You can talk to the young people in our church. And don't think they're not interested. They are. They'll listen to you. They'll pay attention to you if you want to talk to them about the wonderful ways that God has worked and moved over the years in your life. You have a heritage. You have an experience with God. You have years behind you of the faithfulness of God. Tell the younger generation about it. Let them know of what God has done. And then put the Word of God in their hearts. Teach them the Word of the Lord as a testimony of the Lord. Put it in their hearts, just like it describes that we are to do from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Put it in their hearts. The Word of God is quick, meaning it's sharp. It's sharp. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes beyond the surface. It goes deep to the motives, to the intentions of their heart. Put the Word of God in their hearts. Amen. Let them know the value and the importance of God's Word. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of their hearts. It can help them. It can develop and strengthen their conscience to do the right thing, to grow up loving God and serving God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It can guide their steps. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. Amen. It can keep them from evil. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy word. Hallelujah. I don't have time to go through all of this this morning, I know. But I just felt compelled, and I'll probably just take up tonight with some of these other thoughts that are on my mind. But I do believe we have a challenge before us. But it's worth investing in. It's worth investing in them. And it's worth it. We have a Sunday school program that needs to be at its very best. And I appreciate all of you that are teachers in the Sunday school, in every department, every age group. I appreciate what you do. And I know it takes a lot of effort and sacrifice to do that. Just wrestling around with some of these younger kids, it's not always an easy thing. But understand the potential of it. Understand how teachers can influence your life. I was a teenager going into a Sunday school class with a young woman. I don't know how old she was at that time. I was probably 13 or 14, and she was probably in her 20s. She was so tender before the Lord. She could not hardly get started talking about her lesson, that the tears would flow. Now, I don't remember a thing that she taught us, but all I remember is I know this lady cares about me. I know this lady is compassionate. I know she's interested in all of us in this class. I know she has a burden for us. That message came through very powerfully. It doesn't matter. God can use you to touch the lives of those little children. Amen. On Wednesday night, we have groups. I really was concerned that we have children that knew the stories of the Bible. And I've come into contact with kids that didn't know anything about the Bible stories. And so for the past couple of years, much of what's been done on Wednesday night, and if you veered off from this, it's time to get back on track. Get back to the Bible stories. Get back to these, to the emphasis on telling them the stories of the Bible. And those stories will impact their life. And the principles and the truths that they will glean from that later on will be available to them because you've given them the foundation of the story of the Bible. Amen. They are written for our example. They're written for a divine purpose to give us a foundation and an understanding of spiritual principles. And whenever we put the Word of God in their hearts, they will not get away from it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The last verse, and then I'll close. That they might set their hope in God. We have a generation right now of desperation. Suicide among teens is at an unbelievable rate. Young people that are on drugs, it's so out of control. So many that have lost hope. They've been raised up in families and homes where there is no hope. They have no answers. They don't know what to do or where to turn. All of their failures that they've had, now they've turned to drugs and they've turned to other things, and their life is so, so messed up. They need help from the Lord. That's what we... If we'll do what we're commanded to do, then they'll set their hope in God. They'll have some hope in their life. Amen. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We have an awesome challenge before us right now. And that is to reach the younger generation. Amen. Glory to God. The young adults, the teens, the boys and girls that are here. Let's take this on as our God-given task to touch their lives, to make an impact upon their lives, and so that they'll set their hope in God and not in anything that the world has to offer. Would you stand with me, Father? Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that you're dealing with our hearts through your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to us about this great need. I know that all over this nation, there's a younger generation that doesn't know God. There's a younger generation that has no spiritual inclination at all. But Lord, I know that you can stir up a people. You can stir up a church congregation and give us a renewed vision and burden for small children, for young people, for teens, for youth, for young adults. Oh Lord, that they'll set their hope in God. Not in anything that the world has to offer. It's just so much emptiness and despair out there in this world. But Lord, put your hand upon our kids. Put your hand upon our teens. Put your hand, Lord, upon this generation, Lord. It's quickly walking away from the things of God. Lord, give us, I pray, wisdom. Wisdom to know how to reach them. Lord, give us, I pray, a burden for them to do whatever we can do to touch their lives for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do a work, Lord, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.